Lake Effect continues now with a big name in the antiques world, Terry Covell of Ralph and Terry Covell fame. Ralph Covell was born in Milwaukee. We don't know exactly when because, as Ralph says, age is a number and mine is unlisted. We do know that when he was a teenager, Ralph and his family moved to Ohio, where he met Terry Horvitz. She says Ralph was the other guy on a blind double date. Today, Ralph and Terry Covell are famous catalogers of antiques and collectibles. Their journey from aficionados to experts began with the book Covell's Dictionary of Marks, Pottery and Porcelain. It was published in 1953. They moved on to a nationally syndicated newspaper column, then starred in a television show, and now they maintain a popular website. Last weekend, Ralph was homesick, but Terry Covell was in Milwaukee to talk about the annual Realtors Home and Garden Show. WUWM's Susan Bentz sought her out and heard a sweet little tune.
This is the sound of a simple wooden music box. Ralph Covell bought it for $15 and presented it to his sweetheart, Terry Horvitz of Cleveland, Ohio. It was Terry's first antique.
It was not a great buy, but it's a nice music box. I love to do it.
A few years later, the newly married couple set out to furnish their first apartment. They trotted off to a house sale. In those days, that wasn't cool.
You have to understand, it was very different in the 50s. Nobody who had any money would be seen at a house sale. It was very déclassé. But you could go to buy a lamp or an ashtray or maybe a great vase or maybe an oriental rug. That might be allowed. But heaven forbid you should buy a piece of clothing. I mean, that was just, no way.
The Covells kept right on shopping.
We started going to those, and like everybody else, we didn't know anything, and every piece of porcelain had a mark on it, and we knew enough to know it meant something.
They were fascinated by all those marks, so Ralph started keeping a list. It got to be a long, long list.
He showed it to a book dealer downtown who knew of a publisher whom I wanted, who was at that point very new. It was Crown Publishing, and they had just started in business. And they decided they'd publish the book. So they sent us an advance, and we wrote it. You know, for money, you figure out how to do it.
At the time, Terry was pregnant with their second child.
He called me to say they'd publish the book. And I said, who's going to help you? And he said, you are. And I said, whose name is on the book? He can't get over the fact of this day that was my next question. And he said, well, I'll put your name on the book, but it goes second. So that's why we're Ralph and Terry instead of Terry.
She calls it typical marriage of the 1950s stuff. Ralph and Terry Covell's syndicated news column followed, then a newsletter, a website, and lots more books by Ralph and Terry Covell.
Do you still love this stuff?
Oh, yeah. We every weekend, if given his choice, if we say, what should we do on Saturday, Ralph goes to an antique shop. And what's even worse, he buys something.
Where do you like to go?
Well, we have an excuse. We're reporting to the world, so we can go anywhere and do anything.
What do you gravitate towards yourselves?
Well, what happens is we just finished doing a book on costume jewelry. And the dealer back here, by the way, said, you can't get enough jewelry to sell. That's just the hottest thing in the world. But I used to pride myself on the fact that I never bought a piece of costume jewelry from the time I was in high school. I always bought antique jewelry, and how smart I was because it gotten so valuable and you couldn't buy it anymore. And, Well, now I look like an idiot because that pin, maybe if I had bought it when it came out, would have been $10 or $15. The designers for costume jewelry, a lot of them were the designers who did things for movies, or they were like Kenneth Lane, who's still working, or Eisenberg, still working. But they were well done. They had prong settings. They didn't just paste the stones in, And they each had their own style. Chanel made costume jewelry important because she deliberately made pearls this big so you'd know they weren't real. And she made a costume statement, and that's what this stuff was in its day. It was kind of funky, and, the designers do it now. I was at a party the other day, and a lady came in who has a lot of money with a pin this big that was made out of orange and pink plastic, and I couldn't believe she was wearing the thing. I mean, she's got diamonds coming out of her ears, and there she was.
Have you ever been tempted to throw away this part of the business and have your own shop?
Oh, I've never wanted to be a dealer. That's our joke in life. Ralph and I always say, if we own it, it's priceless. He once sold a secretary, wasn't that good either, that he had in his office, big tall thing that was a secretary desk, because one of his better customers begged him for it. He sold it to him at cost, and he's been upset ever since.
So through the years, what's the most exciting find that you...
Well, one of our early finds was our most exciting. We actually found a piece of silver by Paul Revere's father, who was also a silversmith, obviously, at a house sale. And the dealer told us, we knew it was 18th century. We could tell from the shape, but it was very dirty. And we didn't see a mark, so we can't claim that. But she said, you know, if you plate this, it'll look lovely. And we said, And she charged us $10. So it's now in a museum. I mean, yeah, we've loaned it to a museum because there isn't much of his stuff around. The maddening part is we know that it's one of a set because it had a number on the bottom, and it was one of four, and I wonder who in the family had the other three. We've never, you know, we never could find out.
What do you think about flea markets?
Oh, we love flea markets. I mean, you know, that's where you really find things, and our television show was all flea markets, and we went to the best in the country and the biggest. Boy, I never walked so much in my life, and the worst food. I actually had to eat a French fried dill pickle on camera, which was...
At what point in your life did you stop and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is our life?
Every now and then we look at each other and we say, do you know we're celebrities? Now the big joke is, because we're in Who's Who...
I'm glad I didn't know that. I would have been intimidated.
Yeah. We've been in for quite a while, as a matter of fact. You know, you got to live long enough. That's the secret. So every now and then when I go to something like this and people swoon when they see me, I think, good heavens, you know. I mean, and we had a letter not long ago from a kid. I mean, he said he was 15 who wanted an autographed picture, and I cracked up. I said, do you think he wants you or me? You know, I mean.
Terry says this Milwaukee trip was a first in the Cavells' career. They're invited to talk antiques all over the world as a team, like Abbott and Costello, Terry says. But Ralph had to stay behind this time, mending a broken hip. Terry says when she gets home, she's going to dig out that old antique music box he gave her. Terry Covell visited with Susan Bentz during a visit to Milwaukee. Terry flew back home to Ralph, but Milwaukee's 84th Realtors Home and Garden Show is at State Fair Park through Sunday. I'm Jane Hamden. Thanks so much for listening today. Our program is produced by Susan Bentz, Bonnie North, Dan Harmon, and Sarah Prince, with help from Samantha Garrett. Mitch Tyke is our executive producer. Milwaukee singer-songwriter Willie Porter wrote the theme music. Join us right here weekdays 10 a.m. and 11 p.m. or anytime on the web, wuwm.com/legeffect. All of our interviews are archived there, along with lots of information about our guests and all the things they talk about. Thanks so much for listening to Lake Effect from WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio.